right now on SB Nation Radio. We talk about the biggest and latest news involving cars. We call it Let's Talk Wheels.
We saved the best for last. The 67 Shelby Mustang GT500. There she is. There's Eleanor.
With Mike Herzing, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. How are you? It is Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on SB Nation Radio. We got a lot to get to here in the middle of the summer, and we have cool things like we all do every week. We do our automotive reviews. I actually wasn't driving anything this week. Mike was, so we'll get Mike's review as to what he was tooling around with on the streets of Houston. We will also be joined by Peter Andrew. He is the Ram brand manager. Always great to get these brand managers on to talk about what's going on. But we will do that coming up in the third segment of the program. And Mike, it's the summer. It's July. And let's talk some cars, right?
It's Africa hot. And cars, I'm looking on the side of the road, and these guys are overheating. It's just like, gee, where were you when I was warning you to check your cooling system? You
know? Yeah, right? I mean, it's a perfect time to do it. You know, here on a Saturday morning, if your honey-do list is over, maybe you need to go ahead and take a look at your vehicles to make sure that you have everything up to snuff and make sure that things are where it needs to be. Because, look, here in Las Vegas, it's been over 105 degrees now for 20 straight days.
Wow.
It's been a brutally hot, hot, hot summer here, and we're not even close to being over. And if in Houston, it's been extraordinarily humid and hot as well.
Yes, so get those. It's 96, but it feels like 104.
You know? Yeah, you know, it's so funny because when I went to in New England and we landed in Boston, the humidity was 62%. And we had left Las Vegas, it was 6%.
Right.
So it was literally 10 times worse. And it's really funny because you don't think so much about what that does to an engine or what that does to tires or to rusting the outside of a vehicle. But things don't rust here. I mean, literally, it's funny because things don't corrode here. Like we found a wolf spider in our garage, which is a scary looking spider, all right?
Yep.
But the thing had been there for like 3 months. And it still was pretty much intact. Like the guy who came out to spray the house was like, that's been there for a while, so don't worry about it. I was like, huh?
Mummified.
It didn't decay or didn't anything. Like, yeah, eventually it does, but just not here, not in the desert. Things just don't decay like that as with a rapid rate as it does like in New England where, you know, rust is everywhere. Yes. And if you have a vehicle that's 5 years old, chances are there's some rust on the underside of that car unless you've gotten it sprayed for an undercarriage. So
it's sad. It
yeah.
Really
it's so different. It really is a wild, different way. So we've got that coming up for you tonight. This morning on the program, I'm still hungover from last night. We got that coming up here on the program, and we're looking forward to talking about this brand new 2018 Tungsten Edition for a Ram 1500. It's a gorgeous brand new vehicle. We'll do that and more on this edition of Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. Welcome in. Don't move. SB Nation Radio.
This is Let's Talk Wheels on SB Nation Radio with the car guru himself, Mike Herzing. Here's your host, Matt Perrault.
It is Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on SB Nation Radio. This segment of the program being brought to you by Jeep. The official vehicles of summer are ready for whatever your summer brings. Hurry into your nearest Jeep dealer for the clearance event of the summer. Jeep has been with us for a long time, and we always love to talk about Jeep, especially here in the summertime, because I see them everywhere here in Las Vegas. I know you see them down in Galveston in the Houston area, and they are selling quite well here in the summertime because it's a fun vehicle when it's hot outside to rip down that top and get going. But, you know, Mike, there's a lot of things to get to on the program today, but the one thing I want to start the show off a little bit off with is, and we'll get into this a little bit later on, we're talking about Ram here, but are you surprised at all at the changes that we have seen in the luxury truck brand and the amount of money that people who have trucks? Because, you know, sometimes you would think of maybe the foreman might have a nice car, a nice truck rather, and have kind of a car type interior. But now we're seeing more and more people say, you know what, I may drive BMWs or I may have driven Mercedes in the past, but I'm more than comfortable buying a $75,000 truck and have everything that I had in that Mercedes. But I got a huge engine and I got a huge bed in the back of my truck and I'm totally fine with it. How has that changed the industry that people are now willing to do that?
Well, people want the utility of a pickup truck or an SUV. It's just logical. And the trucks are so comfortable. I mean, you go back 20 years ago, even 15 years ago, it was okay. But the 2000 models had a lot of plastic, and it was a truck. And it rode hard, and it was bumpy, and everybody would whine and this kind of stuff, especially a heavy-duty truck. But now when Ram comes out with link coil suspension, Ford refines theirs, GM does stuff with theirs, they ride almost like a car. I mean, unless you're getting a dually, it's not going to ride bad at all. And the air suspension and everything else. So, you know, what people are saying, okay, wait a minute, I'm going to use this for work. But you know what? I'm going to take it to the lake. I'm going to pull the boat. I'm going to pull the camper. And for a little bit more, you know, $30 a month more, I can get this. And
right.
That's what they're looking at. And they're also spreading the payments out, you know, to like the length of a house note.
Yeah.
Which is
not
69
good.
Months, I think, is the average right now. It's terrible.
That's the average?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, something like that.
No, that's not good. That's, yeah. No. And look, I mean, I think from a buyer perspective, one of the things that is interesting for me is it's progressed from the SUV into the truck. Because if we've seen car sales, we've talked a lot about car sales being way, way down.
Right.
And people who are focused more on car sales, you know, have had a really tough time. And people just aren't buying cars anymore. They want the larger vehicles because gas prices are still really cheap and people are looking for that. But it's almost like people have gone, if you like the Expedition and you like the big, big SUV, now you've gone, well, why can't I just get a truck? Because
right.
I can get a cab that's big enough for my family, but I also get the huge bed and the towing capability that comes with a truck.
And then the wife gets rid of the little car. And, you know, like the number one selling car for right now in the country is right now is the Nissan Rogue. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Honda's number one seller is the CR-V. You know, Toyota's number one seller is the RAV4. They're all SUVs. Chevy's number one seller is, I think, Equinox. And they're all SUVs. I mean, 60% of the vehicles being sold right now are trucks and SUVs. I mean, it's a lot.
Well, and that's going to be I'm very curious to see what happens to cars because I like cars.
Sure.
But it does feel like there's not enough money being made. And we're starting to see people, brands, look away from those cars. And it's either very inexpensive vehicles just kind of get you to and from,
right.
or we're going into SUVs and larger cars that, you know, a Rogue would – it's kind of what used to be called a crossover. Now right. It's, you know, depending on what you want to describe SUV, CRV, whatever you want to describe it as. But it is it's such a growing segment, and it's dominating sales. And I'll be very curious to see if gas prices do go up ever again. Do we see, you know, the car companies kind of getting stuck and going back to cars, or are cars kind of be a thing of the past?
Well, Matt, these things almost get the same fuel economy as a car. You only lose like a half a mile per gallon or a mile per gallon.
Right.
And I'm going to do that. I mean, look at you. You grab the Princess.
Yep.
And Maddie, and you take her somewhere. It doesn't just bring in the little kid in their car seat. It's way more than that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
well, I mean, and that's one of the things about the larger, the full-size vehicles. So,
yeah.
Like, here in Vegas, you guys have heard the program before with reviews. I've driven a lot of cars. I've driven a lot of Kias, yep. A lot of Hyundais. I've driven a lot of Volvos. I've driven a lot of sedan-type vehicles here in Vegas. And it is, I can tell you straight up, having a kid in the back seat and having a family, you make mention of whatever it might be. You're taking groceries or you're taking strollers or whatever. You know, they have tried to make these trunks bigger and they've tried to give you more space and they've tried to compete, but there really is no competition. They can't keep up. They can't design a car that gives you what an SUV does. And you don't need, I mean, someone like my family, we're not towing boats,
right.
But we need the overall space. So the engine isn't as important to us as it is the overall functionality of the vehicle. And that, I think, is what causes a problem and why SUVs are so cheap and so able to compete with the cars.
Just like me, I get an SUV. It's so much easier to get in and out of than a car.
Right.
Think about that. And you're putting, you know, your daughter down in their car seat trying to get her buckled down. You're bent over. On an SUV or a CUV, it's not like that. It's so much easier.
Yeah, the space is so much easier, and it's so much more of a opportunity for families to be able to just use the functionality of the vehicle. And look, I'm a big sports sedan fan. I mean, when it comes to buying vehicles, my eye gravitates towards vehicles like an A3 or an A4.
Sure.
And that's the car I want to be driving, you know, in cars that have horsepower and cars that go. But I think I'm becoming more and more the minority because that type of vehicle is either high-end luxury or it's just not going to be on the market. Like, it's just not really around.
It's expensive. We've got to sit there and buy. I mean, if you went and bought another car, you have to think about, okay, if we have another child, you got to factor all that in. You know, it's just because you're keeping it 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's kind of a perfect segue into the new Genesis G90 You know, I've driven that car here a lot. I've driven the G90 and the G60. The G90 is gorgeous.
I
mean, if you're looking at that type of, you know, if you're going to buy a $100,000 Mercedes, I would say I wouldn't, you know, just blindfold yourself to brands, not literally blindfold, but don't think of this as a Hyundai or a Genesis. Just go and drive it as if it's just a non-branded car. And you're going to go, so I can buy that for $65,000 or I can buy a Mercedes for $100,000.
Come on.
What's the difference?
Well, here's the deal. The brand's only a year old. It already came in third in the Vehicle Satisfaction Awards, and then now it's first. And here's the deal. This is my favorite award. It's not like initial quality, how many boo-boos it has or anything like that. This is, after a few months, how the owner likes it. Mm. How do they like the car? Do you still love the car? Do you still love the service? You look at everything. Hyundai will pick up and deliver a vehicle for you for service and repairs. They'll give you a free loaner. They come back, pick up your Hyundai, go service it, and your Genesis, go service it, and they leave you a Genesis to drive. Mm. It's free.
It's brilliant.
So, I mean, they're really busting their butt to do that. Another company's busting their butt is Lincoln. They're doing the same thing. And guess what? Sales are nuts on Lincoln. So it's just at the wrong time. The problem with the Genesis right now is they need an SUV.
Yes,
and
they do.
So does Hyundai. And they're busting their hump to try to get some SUVs up there. They make nice ones, but they just don't have enough of them.
Yeah, and the G90 is a really nice car. I mean, it's just so gorgeous. The engine is so powerful. I mean, I think it's got a 360-horsepower engine, and it's just got such a every bell and whistle that I've ever thought of on a car, it has. And if you are in the market, if you're going to be, in the super uber premium luxury, and people always laugh about, I've mentioned this before, but like LeBron James would never drive a Kia. Yeah, he would. He would drive this.
Yes, he would.
Like, if you're used to driving the super high-end luxury cars, you would drive this, and you will save yourself $25,000 to $30,000 doing it. So that's why I think people are looking at the G90 and people are in love with it, because it's like, hey, I was paying $700 a month for my Mercedes. I'm paying $550 now for this, and it's the same, opportunity, luxury, whatever it might be, from a car perspective. So it's I've been a big fan of what Hyundai has done with this brand. Mm-hmm. And they're now marketing it more heavily to golf fans and to sports fans, and trying to get into the more traditional marketplace for branding and putting that brand in front of consumers that may be in the market for that type of luxury. So I commend them for what they're doing. I think it's really smart. I think it'll take time. But you're right. We have seen, Hyundai go into Audi go into it. Yes. We've seen Volkswagen go into it. We've seen Mercedes go into it. If you don't have an SUV, the brand is going to suffer right now.
It is. And they're building a nice vehicle. And what's funny is you're not going to see anything that says Hyundai.
Nope.
You won't even see hardly even a Genesis. It looks like a Bentley.
Yeah, they really don't like putting that Genesis.
No.
It's just a G. They just put like the G on there, and they don't want to even say it, because they almost want you to ask, what is that?
I wonder if you're going to see a lot of them, like when you go to the airport and there's a limo to kind of the airport, the things they use town cars for.
Mm-hmm.
This would be the perfect vehicle to replace. And then all of a sudden people are going to look at it and go, this is pretty nice.
Oh, yeah, they'll go, oh,
I bet
that's
you
different.
That would be a good sales technique.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about luxury, but from a different perspective. Yes. Let's talk about a truck luxury line. Ram is coming out with a really, really cool vehicle. It's 2018 Tungsten Edition for Ram Trucks. We'll get to Peter Andrew. He's the Ram brand manager. He will join us next year on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on SB Nation Radio.
This is Let's Talk Wheels on SB Nation Radio with the car guru himself, Mike Herzing. Here's your host, Matt Perrault.
It is Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on SB Nation Radio. Matt Perrault with you. And this segment is being powered by Ram Trucks, America's longest-lasting pickups, guts, glory, Ram. And, well, Mr. Herzing, we had a chance to talk to Peter Andrew. He's the Ram brand manager. Wow. So why not, during the Ram segment, we get to talk a little bit about a new truck. These trucks are going like crazy. These high-end, expensive, gorgeous trucks, the most luxurious Ram pickup truck ever. And we'll let Peter come on to describe it. Peter, good morning. How are you? Matt and Mike.
Hey, doing great, Matt and Mike. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I want one.
Yeah, so we're really excited about this Ram Tungsten Edition. It's a new benchmark for luxury trucks. I mean, we've got the first ever application of a suede headliner in the truck segment. It's a great product. We're excited about it, and we think customers are going to love it.
Yeah, it's 2018 Ram Limited Tungsten Edition. And let's talk about the combination of refinement, efficiency, and class. And what does that mean to the consumer that will come out and check out this new 2018 Ram?
Well, Mike, the pickup truck segment is pretty diverse, as you know, and customers like a wide variety of different styling elements in their trucks. And, for some truck buyers, it's a lot of chrome, and for others, it's an alternative look. And Tungsten, we think, offers an alternative look. It's a lot of body color elements versus chrome. We've got this new tungsten chrome that we're excited about. So that's more of a satin look on the limited grille and some of the exterior trim elements like the door spears and the tailgate spear. So, you know, that's the exterior. The interior, we've got a brand new color. It's a light frost beige and indigo interior theme that has just incredibly beautiful leather seats, really plush Natura Plus leather seats. So it's and aside from that, we've got a great tech story. We've got brand new radios, 8.4-inch touchscreen. We bring in Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. So it's really a great truck that we think customers are going to love.
Well, you know, you guys are already selling the heck out of it. I love the Laramie Longhorn. You know, the thing about your truck that's different than everybody else, I can go get in one of the other brands, and they're top of the line, whatever, and it has, I go over and look at the wood grain, and it's plastic. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is a $75,000 vehicle, and it's plastic.
Right.
You guys don't do that.
No, I mean, we really take it to the next level. We've got more leather-wrapped surfaces, I think, than any other truck in the segment. It's to your point, it's a beautiful interior. You know, one thing I forgot to mention, we do offer this on 1,500, 2,500, and 3,500 trucks. You know, one thing that we've noticed is that particularly on our 3,500 trucks, you know, over 40% of these things are, you know, premium level trucks. So these are customers that want luxury in their trucks, you know, but they also want to be able to have all of the capability and performance that a truck gives them.
This is what the boss buys, right, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking to Peter Andrew, who's the Ram brand manager, talking about this brand new, gorgeous truck that Ram has coming out. And let's talk a bit about the buyer segment and why you guys at Ram, you're doing so well with this segment of the truck buying population. Why have you seen such an increase in interest in trucks like this?
Well, you know, I don't think that we've seen the ceiling yet of the luxury truck segment, but increasingly, we're seeing people migrate from other segments into trucks. They need Ram capability. They need that versatility. But, you know, they might be towing a $200,000 horse trailer, and, you know, for them to spend a little bit more money on a premium Ram truck, you know, that's they want the truck to match what they're towing.
Mm. Is it also having to do with the fact that people are looking at, you know, lifestyle-wise, and they want comfort in all aspects, and even if the truck is being utilized for things like towing or working or, you know, at the job site, they still want to have the luxury that they would find in, say, a luxury vehicle, a luxury car?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what we're seeing is that we've, you know, with some of the product actions that we've taken on our trucks, like the coil spring rear suspension, we've shown that you don't have to give up anything. You don't have to make compromises. You can get a comfortable ride while still not giving up any capability. So, you know, if you can have your cake and eat it too, you know, why not?
You know, you guys have won so many awards here in Texas, the Texas Auto Rider Association. It seemed like the luxury truck, I don't know how many years in a row. But it's the little things. Like, I was driving another brand. It was a $70,000 vehicle. And even found for the 2018s. They still don't have the remote key. Okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't even have that. That's the top trim level. It's the little stuff, the Ram box, all the little I mean, all the owners that I know of love their Rams. And one of the things they love besides the Cummins engine on the big ones is the storage under the floor.
Mm.
Right. Right. Yeah, and we've been able to offer some of those things that owners really appreciate. And what we've seen is that, you know, particularly with features like the Ram box, owners love it, and they stay loyal to the brand. And as you know, this is a segment with, you know, people that are very loyal to certain brands. So we've got our core group of Ram owners that love their trucks, you know, and we're trying to make product actions here and there that will expand the appeal of our trucks and get more people trying out Ram.
I know on your new Uconnect, which is to me one of the simplest telematic systems to use. I mean, it's just simple, and it works. It doesn't try to do stuff it can't do. And is this another generation version or just a bigger display?
This is the next generation. So there are a few upgrades on the radio. So we've got a 4G Wi-Fi hotspot. Like I mentioned earlier, we've got Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. We've got Sirius XM Guardian, which, you know, allows you to manage some of the truck's features through your phone or iPad app.
Okay, I haven't heard that one.
So, yeah, we've won a lot of awards with our Uconnect system, like you mentioned, and it's very intuitive to use. That's one of the things that we hear a lot from our customers. They get in, and you don't need an instruction manual to figure out how to pair up your phone or how to get to the climate screen. You know, you can just get in and use it. So that's one thing that we're really proud of with our Ram trucks.
Talking to Peter Andrew, he's the Ram brand manager here on Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on SB Nation Radio on a Saturday morning. And so if folks are hearing all about this truck and they're thinking to themselves, all right, I got to go check one of these things out. When do you anticipate dealerships having this vehicle? When will you guys be seeing this thing on the road?
Yeah, so these vehicles should be on the road here in the next month or so. So we would encourage any customers that are interested in it to go check out our website. We've got a great website. You can go through and spec out your dream truck. We've also got a lot of other cool tools on the website, like showing you how much you can tow and what capabilities are. So go check out ramtrucks.com and go check out the Tungsten.
Peter, speaking of towing, what are some of the tow features you guys have? Do you still have exhaust brakes or any of that other stuff? All the gauges come up with show all your fluid temperatures and things like that?
Yeah, and that's part of the Uconnect system. You know, we've got several different pages that you can go through and configure so that you can monitor things like your transmission oil temperature and other capability metrics. So, yeah, we definitely try to offer, you know, as much functionality and versatility and, you know, allowing customers to configure the things that they like to monitor to make sure that they're maximizing the truck's capabilities.
And on the towing, does it come with any kind of hitch setup?
Yeah, this truck does come with a standard Class 4 hitch.
You know, Peter, one thing that I'm always curious, and you guys mentioned it here in the release a little bit about the feedback that you guys look for from a Ram customer. And what do you hope for if somebody is driving a different brand of a truck? What do you hope that when they come and test drive or check out a Ram, what do you hope that they take away from what you guys are doing here with Ram?
I think just that we're a no-compromises brand. I mean, we offer unparalleled refinement, and I think, you know, in this truck, we offer a new benchmark in luxury, but at the same time, we've got, you know, class-leading capability. So this is a truck that can do everything that you want it to do and, you know, tow your boat, tow your RV, whatever you might be using it for, and do it while keeping you in the most comfort possible.
All right, Peter, once again, give folks out the information if they want to go and check out how they can build their own truck and how they can find out more information about Ram trucks.
Yeah, so ramtrucks.com is our website, and, yeah, we would encourage anybody interested to come check us out. We've got some beautiful imagery, a great build and price tool, and other capability tools that I think customers will really appreciate.
One quick question I have, and it's, I know that you just brought back the Mega Cab. I thought it was gone, but does this new addition will it ever go to the Power Wagon at some point? Maybe, perhaps, or, you know?
This version is currently only available on Crew for 1500, and then we do have it open for Crew and the Mega Cab on the heavy duty trucks.
Yeah.
As far as the Power Wagon, I mean that's sort of a separate customer and a separate product. So.
Sure.
I don't know if that answers the question.
They want to be pampered too.
Yeah, and certainly we're always looking for ways to combine that to the luxury and the capability that Power Wagon offers.
He is Peter Andrew, the Ram brand manager. It's the 2018 Ram Limited Tungsten Edition that's coming out. You've got to get to your dealership to check it out for sure coming up in a couple of weeks once it gets rolled out. Peter, thank you for the time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Great to be with you.
All right, that was fun with Peter Andrew from from Ram joining us here in the Ram edition, the Ram segment of the program here. And, you know, Mike, that's going to be a truck I think that you and I both believe will sell really well for Ram and do really well for them.
You know, like 40% of the big truck sales are the high-end trucks. But, you know, the trick is it's hard to get somebody to change brands.
Right.
They've got to get pissed off about something or this or that. Or maybe they're in a buddy's truck and goes, you know, I really like this Cummins diesel. I really want, you know, Ram has got that and nobody has it. I mean, that's
true.
On the big truck market. They don't have the big diesel, and that's what people want. It's legendary.
Right.
It is. I mean, that's what people buy it for. I had somebody buy one. I said, how do you like the truck? He said, I didn't buy it for the truck. I bought it for the engine.
Interesting.
It happens.
Yeah, and one thing we didn't mention, that the 1500 edition for the limited tungsten edition for Ram.
This is Let's Talk Wheels on SB Nation Radio with the car guru himself, Mike Herzing. Here's your host, Matt Perrault.
It is Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on SB Nation Radio. Matt Pro with you as well. This segment being brought to you by the 2017 Nissan Titan with America's best limited truck warranty. 5 years, 100,000 miles, bumper-to-bumper Nissan Titan. Take any job, shop your local Nissan dealer and choose Nissan.com today. See dealer for limited warranty deals. All right. Well, I was not driving anything this week, so I did not get a chance to review. I'll be back next week with a review, but you did, Mike. And then after we hear from your review, we'll do a little question and answer segment. But what were you driving around this week?
I was driving a 2017 Buick Encore Premium at front-wheel drive. Now, that's the tiny one, the tiny little SUV. It's kind of a subcompact. Competes against, like, the HRV and things like that. And it's luxury. It's nice. You know, Buick is doing a lot of good things. Their sales are off the charts, you know, like 15, 16% up. They're selling more than they ever had. That's because the designers kind of went, maybe we need to fix this up. It's nice looking inside. It's very modern. It's very comfortable. It's loaded with electronics. This little car is loaded with electronics. It's got a new front end on it, new headlights, LED signature lighting. It's got a kind of a cockpit. You sit down, it kind of wraps around you. It's kind of like being on a plane cockpit. Everything is reachable by hand. Also, you have a bunch of buttons on the screen. Got a little 4.2-inch diagonal color driver information center. The center stack, which is between the two wheels, it's a very intuitive. It's got a nice big pocket to put stuff. That's really nice. It's got the transponder key, which is, I mean, come on, why don't more people do this? You walk up, you know, one thing I'll do, like I'll leave the studio and it's, 105 outside. Before I even get down the elevator to the second floor, I will push the button to start it up. By the time I get out there to it, it's cool.
It's so funny because in the Northeast, in New England, it's the opposite. People love it in the wintertime, but in the summertime in Houston, it's beautiful. You just leave the AC jacked as high as you can go, you shut the car off, and then when you start it up when you're walking out, and then you blow all that hot air out of the car for the first couple of minutes, then you're much more comfortable.
Yeah, it's got a little 1.4-liter turbo. Engine runs good, winds up pretty well. Fuel economy is just really good. It says it gets 33 on the highway and 25 in the city. I got better than 33. I think I got about 34, 35. And like I said, this one has the Apple CarPlay, the Android connectivity. It's a beautiful interior. Mine was a kind of a pearl white with a tan interior. Really pretty. It's got OnStar, which I love. Mine didn't have nav, but it had OnStar, which means you call them and they send you the directions to get somewhere.
You don't need navigation anymore.
Right.
With your phone, you don't need it. But you do need Apple CarPlay, though. You do need either Android or Apple CarPlay.
Right.
Because that's vital. But if you would tell every manufacturer, stop making navigation in cars and start putting it onto your phones. The one thing I will say about that, though, Mike, is when I was driving a Lincoln, I was driving the MKC when I was up in Boston.
Uh-huh.
We got into an area where there was no cell service.
There you go.
And the way that we got to where we were going was the in-car navigation. So I guess at some point, you can't actually totally rely on your phone.
Yeah, but this is also, this is a four-cylinder engine, and they drone. They just do. But Buick has got this noise-canceling little speakers, part of the Bose audio system, and it puts out basically a different sound that cancels out the drone. You don't hear the engine drone. Hmm. If you can sit there going 75 on the freeway, which is speed limit around here, and have a nice conversation without yelling, even talk to somebody in the back seat. It's got dual-zone climate control. It's got 10 airbags and a rear-view vision camera. Now, it's got all that stuff that says, okay, if you depart from your lane, it's going to go crazy, and if I don't stop fast enough, it's going to go crazy and automatically hit the brakes and things like that. It has a blind spot monitor, but I couldn't figure out how to turn it on. And I read the owner's manual, and I couldn't figure that one either. It's just not made for old farts. This whole week I had it, I didn't have the blind spot monitor because somebody turned it off. I don't know why they would.
On the door? It wasn't on the door?
No, it wasn't. So I looked in the owner's manual. I actually broke down and looked in the owner's manual, which I do sometimes, and it didn't tell me really squat. But it's a great little car. If you're looking for a car, now this thing starts out. Now I got this one's really premium. It's top of the food chain. It starts off about $30,000, and it's got the $995 worth of the white frost tricoat. Had a power moonroof for $900. It's a nice moonroof. Your daughter would love it.
Yes.
I'm not a big deal. And then mine also had the 1.4-liter turbo, which is $895. It ends up to be 33 sticker. Now, you can
That's
get
not bad.
Way off sticker. I mean, you're comparing this to an Acura, something like that.
Yep.
And it's a fun little car. If you're looking for a subcab, before you go and buy a loaded-up CR-V or a RAV4 or something, go just take a quick look.
Well, my wife and I did. And before we bought the Equinox, we test drove the Encore, and we drove the Encore and the Enclave.
Yes,
and we found both the cars to be outstanding.
Right,
it just they weren't big enough. And but this vehicle for a family it wasn't big enough. But if you are somebody, if you're a young professional, and they're really trying to market it hard to females, but men can drive it too. But they really want to target see the ads. They're pushing hard. The word cute is used quite a bit in their advertisements. But they want, like, if you live in a big city, if you're in Houston and you live in the Galleria area and you want a car that gets you around but looks nice yet it's not big and bulky to park, That's your vehicle.
They're
all
over the place.
That's your
car. I've seen more of them this week than I've really noticed.
Yeah, and they sell well. And from, you know, look, they call that number, the $31,000 number is what I always use for the entry-level luxury.
Right.
And if you're going 31 to 38, somewhere in that range, you're entry-level luxury, and you're a young professional, and you probably have a good job, and you're doing well in life, and you want to drive something that maybe is a little bit nicer than just your run-of-the-mill car, I think it's a great car to drive.
It really is.
It's got the engine you mentioned is really fun, and I liked it a lot. I really liked it. And this, you mentioned the moonroof. It's if you're feeling claustrophobic, you can get that, and the car feels much bigger. So I'm a fan of that. I really do enjoy that vehicle a lot.
Yeah, it's a nice. And the whole dealership. I think I have a car coming in this week, a Buick,
MKZ?
No, Buick.
Oh, Buick. So you're coming in with, not a Lincoln, sorry, you're doing the Buick. What is the Buick? LaSalle?
I think so, something like that. And so it's going to be
I love a Buick. Buick and Lincoln have both done a really good job of rebranding and getting the old fart stink off them and trying to find a way of getting into millennials.
What's weird is everybody that runs a company is a millennial. That's the cool part. They are all over everything. I mean, they just really do a good job. I mean, I couldn't be happier with the vehicle. I really couldn't.
Mm. All right. It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Kersing here on SB Nation Radio. It's time for our question and answer segment. We begin this edition with a question, Mike, from Dominic, who has a new GMC Acadia. Great, great truck vehicle, SUV. He loves it, but when he accelerates hard, the steering wheel wants to jerk to one side. The salesman says that's normal. Is it?
Yeah. Front-wheel drive engines, okay. They have to, front wheel drive, they stick the engine sideways, okay? So you got to have the engine and then the transmission. Like on a regular rear wheel drive, the engine's in the front, transmission's kind of behind, and you got that right, the center console, that's kind of where your transmission is. Well, on this particular one, that when they put it to the side, one axle is going to be longer than the other, okay? And so what happens is you get more torque to one wheel than the other. It usually pulls to the right a little bit. The more horsepower it has, the more it'll do it. Matter of fact, when Ford was developing their Taurus, the new police model Taurus, the 365 horsepower in that little V6, torque steer was so bad they couldn't figure it out. They didn't know what to do. Their answer: make an all-wheel drive, and that basically hides all of it. And it's just inherent on front-wheel drive. Some companies have paid more trouble, you know, more attention to scrub angles and alignments and this and that. Of course, if you have a low tire or something like that, it's going to make it worse.
Right.
But it just has to do with one axle trying to drive around to the other one. It's just human nature.
So your advice would be aware
of
that?
Don't worry about it. It's just common. Unless it jerks the wheel out of your hand. But if it just tugs a little bit when you accelerate, that's a normal front-wheel drive deal.
Interesting.
And if you were a Honda, Toyota, or whatever owner from the 70s or 80s or 90s, you would just wouldn't even notice it because they all did. They still do.
Okay. Here is Kevin, Mike. Kevin is wondering how hot his 2014 Sienna van should run. The needle goes just halfway and pretty much stays there. How does he know how hot that is?
Well, you know, you're right. You don't know how hot it is. You've got to trust the gauge. Generally on the gauges, you want them to run right past halfway. The fans will come on, bring it right back down. That's how it's supposed to work. You know, in the old days, like I said, it's just different, okay? But most engines, the operating temperature, a new engine is 195 to like 220 degrees.
Hmm.
And that's because they want to burn off all the emissions. I remember when if the engine was 210 degrees, it was melting. It was blowing a head gasket. I used to have a Nissan 240Z that would get up that high, and I basically steam's going everywhere. I had to replace the head gasket because it got up to like 220. 230. Nowadays, these engines are designed to do that, so that way, like I said, emissions. But of course, the new metallurgy is better, lubrication's better, and everything else. But normally, you'll have a thick deal on your gauge that'll say this is normal. Okay, if it's running, you know, if you really want to know the exact temperature, stop by an auto parts store or someplace and get a scan tool, and they will plug it in and look at the data stream. It'll tell you exactly the temperature.
Why would you need to know the temperature? Are you saying, is it because you don't want to trust an idiot light?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and it just it makes somebody like me crazy. I mean, it would, you know, that kind of stuff. I just want to know, okay, how do they want it to run? People try to get the engines to run cooler, and then the engine won't go into closed loop, and it thinks it's cold. Basically, the old days, it would turn on the choke. It thinks the engine's cold, so it'll do crazy, stupid things. Certain things come on and off with temperature. Okay. Once the car warms up, then the emissions, everything else kind of kicks in. Some of the things kick out. And so all this computer monitors everything.
Hmm.
Okay. So it's really pretty complex.
are head gaskets still key components of engines?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They don't blow like they used to.
Right. Because I can't remember hearing. I remember my dad and my mom used to always talk about that in the summertime in New England. That always, you know, worry about the head gasket blowing, getting too hot, overheating.
Yes.
was much more of a commonality.
Right. Right.
In the early 80s, late 80s, when they were driving around. And I remember my mom bought one of the first ever Hyundais.
Oh, yeah.
The Honda Sentra. She, I remember her, it was like her first or second car that I remember her buying was one of those. And in her car, it overheated and it blew the head gasket.
They were not. It was a Mitsubishi engine and sent to Korea, and the whole thing was just kind of scabbed together for like $49.95, and it was brutally bad. It wasn't as bad as a Yugo, but it was bordering on that.
A Yugo. Now, there is a blast for the past. Whatever happened to Yugos? Where did they go?
Heaven. Yugo heaven.
they went away?
I don't know that I've ever seen many of them, that's for sure.
To never return?
Well, in the old days, you wanted the engine to run as cool as you could.
Right.
160 degree, you have 180 degree thermostat, 190 degree thermostat. You'd open it up, say, I want the coolant to start flowing around 160, and you want to keep the engine cooler, and that's okay for old school carbureted cars. But the new stuff with fuel injection, you can't do it. It screws everything up. So I've had people go in and change the thermostat, or I'm going to take it out because it's overheating. Yeah, that's not the problem. If you ever want to check your thermostat, put it in boiling water and see when it opens up. With a thermometer. That's what I do. I mean, if I'm not sure somebody's thermostat's bad, I'll boil some water, stick the thermostat in there, and watch it open. If it doesn't open, it's like a little item expands and it opens up a valve and allows the coolant to flow. And as it cools down, it throttles it off. Well, you know, thermostats aren't expensive, but people say, I'm just going to replace it. Well, wait a minute. Let's find out the real problem first rather than just throwing parts at it. Sometimes the thermostat you get might not be as good as the one you had.
Interesting. Is that also an issue when it comes just to the computer programs that are there?
Yeah. Now, some people are smart enough to go and reprogram some of the stuff and give it more performance and make it think it's hotter than it really is and this kind
right.
of stuff. Of course, it blows your emissions out of the way, and that's really kind of against federal law, but people do it anyway. You know, for racing, for off-road racing only, of course.
Quote, unquote, off-road racing only,
that's
right?
Correct. That's correct. Sorry for the cough. And no. I am getting a Buick LaCrosse.
Oh, a LaCrosse.
Yeah.
Very nice. I think the LaCrosse, yes, that was one of their rebrands. That was one of their redos.
Yeah, it's a nice car. It's absolutely an awesome car.
That's very nice. So we'll look forward to that review coming up next week.
I'll be pimping next week.
I have a Kia hybrid plug-in that I'm
Ooh.
Driving. I think it's a fully electronic Optima, or fully maybe a hybrid. It's their PHED. It's the Kia Optima.
Partial high emissions something.
Yes, something along those lines. So I'll be driving that coming up for next week.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we will put a bow in the program. Stick around. We'll tell you how you can find us on the internet next here on SB Nation Radio.
This is Let's Talk Wheels on SB Nation Radio with the car guru himself, Mike Herzing. Here's your host, Matt Perrault.
It is Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on SB Nation Radio. And remember, if you are listening to us online, if you are on SBNationLive.com, which is one way, or on the SB Nation Radio app, which is another way, or on your local affiliate, or maybe you're listening on Podcast Arena after the program has aired here on
yes.
Saturday morning, and you want to find us, or you want to be getting us to your local, wherever station you may be at, we always love to hear from people. We always love to hear from our fans and tell, hey, or go ahead and contact your local local sports station or your local radio station and say, hey, I want to hear more from Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing, and shoot Mike an email, and we'll see what we can do to get the program onto your station wherever you might be living, so you can hear us every Saturday morning here on SB Nation Radio. And you know, I was thinking about this yes. the other day, Mike. How many years have we been doing this show now? Are we into year three?
Yeah, we're in year three.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's fun. I've been doing it forever. You know, and I answer all my own emails. Sometimes I may get a couple hundred, but I answer them all, every single one.
So. Well, give that email address out if they want to contact you.
Mike@letstalkwheels.com.
Very easy,
pretty simple. Facebook also, you can find me on Facebook.
Yep.
And it's Let's Talk Wheels TX, I think.
So. And if you go to letstalkwheels.com, that's going to bounce you to SB Nation Radio's page for this show. And you'll see all of the podcasts. If you missed any old programs, any old interviews, you want to catch up on programs, you can do that as well. And we got some interesting things coming down the pike here over the next couple of weeks. And I think what's going to be fun is we're going to be expanding a little bit. The show's going to grow a little bit. We're going to be adding some stations that I think people are going to be really excited about. If you're somebody who is in our home market of Houston, I think you're going to like what you guys are going to hear coming up in a couple of weeks from us. And we're going to grow this show and really look to push it here in the second half of 2017 and beyond. And we can't thank Jeep, Ram, Nissan, and all of our great sponsors enough
for
keeping us on the air and being such great partners of ours. And we love when guys like Ram, like Peter Andrew, excuse me, came on the program and tell us all about their new products and what's coming down the pike. And everyone at Jeep that does that as well. So we really have a lot of fun with this show, and we hope you guys do as well. So shoot Mike an email, Mike@letstalkwheels.com.